classification of the exercises according to the laws of symmetry. This classification will allow us to understand in which order these exercises should be practiced according to how much time you have. Phosphenic mixing is like the seasoning that should be used on all exercises. It should be associated as much as possible to all these practices. Four groups of exercises exist apart from phosphenic mixing: sways, static tensions, rhythmic breathing, and ocular convergence. These four groups are divided into two. Sways form the first group, and static tensions, rhythmic breathing, and convergence form a second group. Indeed, these three latter exercises are based on the reversal towards the inside of an activity that is usually directed towards the outside. During static tensions, the point of application of the force, which is usually directed towards an object or the ground, is transposed to the inside of the muscle. For rhythmic breathing, there is also a reversal of normal activity towards the inside, as usually in ordinary breathing, inspiration is short, expiration is divided in two parts, a fast expiration and a slow expiration, that is almost a retention. So normally, retention is located between expiration and inspiration. On the other hand, in breathing for a spiritual goal, the main phase of retention is located between inspiration and expiration. In ocular convergence, the axis of the visual ray that is usually directed towards the outside is then directed towards the inside. During the sways, you project the cerebral hemispheres towards the outside, to such a point that one can wonder if these exercises are truly part of the same initiatory principle as the three others. The sways are the main exercises. This means that if you have very little time, you should only practice exercises of sways associated to your exercises of phosphenic mixing. I remind you that if you are very short on time, it is the lateral head sway that corresponds to the evening exercise. When it is the anterior-posterior head sway, that corresponds to the morning exercise. If you have more time during your three exercises of sways, or more if you practice combinations, go from one to the other following your inspiration. If, on the other hand, you have much time, on holiday for example, or if you are retired, then how can you organize your exercises? When you fall asleep, you first lose the consciousness of your feet. This loss of consciousness goes up progressively to the region located between the eyes, where you have the impression to be conscious for a long time. When you wake up, even before you have opened your eyes, you have the impression that you are awake and located between your eyes, a little bit above the eyes, in the middle of the forehead, in the region that corresponds to the eye of Shiva. If at that moment you wonder where your feet are, you have to move them to find out where they are. You fall asleep from bottom up, and you wake up in the opposite direction. This is a reflection of the movement of the invisible bodies, which classically tend to leave more or less the physical body during sleep. Symmetry in the order of the exercises of the morning and of the evening. If you want to perform all the exercises, you should use the following order in the evening: sways, static tensions, breathing, ocular convergence. In the morning, choose the reverse order. Even before you have opened your eyes, perform ocular convergence with your eyes closed. Then use the relaxation of sleep to perform rhythmic breathing, and finish with static tensions. Even if you practice other exercises, it is always interesting to establish a symmetry between the exercises of the evening and those of the morning. If, for instance, in the evening, you perform an examination of your consciousness, for example, by thinking about the whole day in reverse, starting with your freshest thoughts and going back towards older and older thoughts, you can, in the morning, on the other hand, make a little plan of your day. Each exercise should be practiced at least 15 minutes, or they will have not much effect. Static tensions and sways are exercises of the evening, or more precisely, sways and then static tensions. On the other hand, rhythmic breathing is an exercise of the morning, as you can use the relaxation of sleep before you have eaten to increase the relaxation produced by breathing. If you have very little time, but you nevertheless want to practice all the exercises, you can establish a routine that changes every week or month. You can practice an exercise during 1 week and then another one during the following week, for instance. But you shouldn't limit yourself to a single exercise. They all complement each other. Static tensions, for instance, have an action on will, mainly, and resolutions, when ocular convergence has an action on thoughts, the concentration of the mind. So, you should not focus too much on an exercise and establish a routine. Also, during the day, you should endeavor to maintain the inner rhythms with little exercises, maybe a few slight movements of the head, 3 or 4 in a row. This will help you maintaining the rhythm, the oscillation of the point of concentration. We have now finished this revision of the exercises and their classification. Let us now talk a little bit of the equivalent of phosphenic mixing in the ear by pushing the little bits of cartilage with your thumbs to block the ears, or simply by placing your index in your ears, you will hear a buzzing sound. This buzzing sound is the equivalent of the phosphine that we call visual chaos. You remember that in the dark you perceive pale spots. The visual chaos is not very important in the visual domain, when it is compared to the post-phosphine, for example, but its equivalent in the ear has a great importance. This buzzing could be called the physiological acouphene, as opposed to pathological acouphenes that are studied in medicines and that are due to a strain on the ear. The physiological acouphene is what is important in the phenic system of the ear. Though the equivalent of the post-phosphine also exists in the ear, it is not practically usable. For instance, musicians, when they come out of a concert, hear whistles. Producing this type of acouphene is very tiring for the ear. The post-acouphene cannot be used, but on the other hand, the equivalent of the visual chaos, the physiological acouphene, can be used to practice all the experiments that we have done with phosphenic mixing. The acouphene has all frequencies mixed within its sound. How can we practice mixing in this equivalent of the auditory phosphine? We can, for instance, represent a miniaturized object within one of the two acouphenes. It is usually very easy to distinguish the right acouphene from the left one. Then, when you have practiced this for a minute, you can also practice the exercise of the oscillation of the point of concentration from one acouphene to the other. As it is easy to distinguish the two acouphenes, it facilitates the trajectory of your chosen thought between these two acouphenes. You can imagine like a little ping-pong ball that would go from one ear to the other while you are listening to the acouphene. Finally, you can practice mixing an auditory thought in the acouphene. An interesting way to operate consists in blocking your ears, whether by pressing on the cartilage with the thumbs, whether by placing your index fingers inside your ears. In order to practice this in a comfortable position, you will have to put some books under your elbows so that you can practice this exercise and listen to the acouphene with your back straight in a comfortable position. Focus your attention on your acouphenes and ask yourself a question mentally. This will last for a few seconds, and for a more or less equal duration, you are going to try to listen to the answer through the acouphene, as if something or someone could talk to you in this noise, and you could hear their words within the buzzing sound. After a few seconds, ask the same question in a slightly different form, so that the exercise is not too monotonous, and so on. Naturally, it is not from the first tries that you will suddenly experience clairvoyance. But if you insist, this is a very good way to obtain the equivalent of clairvoyance in the sense of hearing. The experiment of concentrating on detail of the phosphine has an equivalent with the acouphene. You remember that if you focus all your attention on the detail of the phosphine, lines appear that might conjure resemblances with objects or persons that you know, and if you insist a bit more, you can obtain visions. We have analyzed the results of this experiment. Here, it is the same thing. You can focus all your attention on the detail of the acouphene. It is more difficult than with the phosphine, nevertheless. While you listen to your acouphene, you are going to try to focus your attention on a note that is high-pitched or low-pitched. The same way lines appear when you concentrate on the detail of the phosphene, the lines appear around the zone on which you concentrate, you are going to observe sounds, notes, chords in the zone that you have chosen, low pitch or high pitch. If you focus your attention on a note within the chord you are here, little by little your sonic scenery will amplify itself. The awakening of clairaudience. One of my friends told me that after practicing for 15 days with the acouphene, he could hear heavenly musics and he regretted that he could not write them down. He was a diplomat and he had never studied music. He only practiced with the acouphenes a little bit when he came back from work. So, even if you do not obtain results from the first go, you will not have to insist for years to hear inner musics or words that might guide you in your life, help you solve problems, or tackle more important works than you would have realized without these exercises. Visual mixing in the acouphene, use of the acouphene to favor the rhythm of 2 seconds, mixing of auditory thought within the acouphene, concentration on a detail of the acouphene. This is an exact parallel to what we have done with the phosphine. Mixing in the gustatophene. Let us now study the equivalent of the phosphine for the sense of taste. I don't think that there is a post-gustatophene, as what we call aftertaste is simply a little bit of food that has remained on the tongue. On the other hand, it is not difficult to verify that there is a co-gustatophene. In order to find out about this, you can do the following experiment. While you are eating a dish that you enjoy, you are obviously not eating quickly to simply satisfy your hunger, but while you are eating something pleasant, you can pray at the same time and, if possible, invent an analogical prayer. You can, for instance, pray that a living or deceased person receive a spiritual nourishment. You will notice that your thoughts become much more intense, much more vivid, and your prayer is stronger. Everything happens as if there was a mixing between a phenic element and your thoughts. It is possible that the co-gustatophene has a role to play in the deep meaning of the communion. Just before the Last Supper, Jesus raises his eyes towards the sky at the same time as he raises the host. It is very possible that he has at the same time projected his phosphine on the host. And when he said, "This is my body, this is my blood," he was actually referring to the projection of his phosphinic substance on the host. This might be the deep meaning of communion. In a way, the communion is about absorbing the commandments of the Gospels and then digesting them and expressing them in a way that is related to one's nature. Let us now study the connections between the apparitions of Lourdes and Phosphénism. Bernadette Soubirous used to recite prayers often. She used to recite her prayers in particular conditions of lighting. She used to tend sheep in the south mountains of France. If you go there, you will realize that the hill where she tended her sheep has the shape of a gigantic olive along a north-south axis. It is on the south half that the prairies are located. This hill still belongs to the family for whom she worked. From those prairies, she could follow the course of the sun during the whole day. It is mentioned in several texts about Bernadette Soubirous that she was often looking at the Pyrenees Mountains. The Pyrenees Mountains are located in the south. This shows that while she was saying the rosary to pass the time, she probably often was doing this while focusing on the sun rising or setting. I went to this place several times, and the scenery is magnificent. One can see the snow on top of the Pyrenees Mountains, even in the summer. So this snow would act as a natural reflection of the light of the sun. In his book Voyage to Ixtlan, Carlos Castaneda describes the words of a Yaqui sorcerer. The sorcerer would ask Castaneda to focus on a very bright cloud, and often a green color would appear. This is the beginning of a phosphine. Carlos Castaneda precises that within this green color, a vision could sometimes appear. In Mexico, as everywhere else, all initiatory and magical phenomena are based on the strangeness and curiosities of phosphenic phenomena. Bernadette Soubirous used to often pray while focusing on the snow on the top of the Pyrenees Mountains, or on the bright clouds or mists reflecting the light of the sun. She was consequently in conditions that are very similar to the conditions described by the Yaqui sorcerers. A Belgian priest wrote a book about her, in which he said that her only game was to throw blades of grass in the water of the creek and to follow their course. I suppose that she was doing this in the small creek behind the hill when she was relaxing, but she might have done that when she used to go on holiday at her parents. You remember that focusing on the reflection of the sun on water can develop gifts of clairvoyance. Before she was a shepherd, she used to live in a house in Lourdes that is still owned by her family. And in this house, you can see the bed in which she used to sleep. Roughly 1.50 meters from the bed, there is a large fireplace. Lourdes is at the foot of the Pyrenees Mountains, and in the winter, it is quite cold. Also, cooking was performed in these large fireplaces. On the day of the first apparition, Bernadette was gathering wood for this fireplace. It is very probable that she was focusing on the flames of the fire, as it is very pleasant. I have never met anybody who doesn't like to focus on the flames of a fire while thinking or daydreaming. So she must have kept on reciting prayers while focusing on the flames. So she was practicing phosphenic mixing without knowing it, a practice that develops clairvoyance. At the age of 5, she had been very sick with cholera. Many people from the town of Lourdes died from that epidemic, and she was close to dying. She probably was quite close to a state of near death. It is probable that cholera left her with a bad liver, a classic cause of asthma, and she ended up dying with tuberculosis. Before and after the apparitions, she had such fits of asthma that the persons around her thought she might die. So she was in the state that we have studied regarding breathing exercises. The frequency of her fits of asthma must have favored, in a certain way, the possibility to separate the etheric body from the physical body. Let us examine in which conditions the apparitions have taken place. First, as I told you, she was working all year long as a shepherd, and suddenly she was asked to go down to Lourdes to prepare her first communion. So there was a sudden change of life. I have observed that in a period during which I used to practice many exercises to produce out-of-body experiences, it wasn't during the periods of exercises that out-of-body experiences would occur. If I stopped practicing for 2 or 3 days, it is during these moments that the experiences would take place. I can compare this phenomenon to what happens when one prepares an exam. One is anxious to fail, but does not dream about the exam. On the other hand, once the exam is passed and successfully, as we are on a holiday with our mind quiet, when we dream during the first night, we can dream that we failed the exam. Freud would probably state that this has to do with a subconscious desire to fail. I don't believe this. I think that the fear was within consciousness, and because it was a continuous fear, it acquired a kind of drive, energy. This anguish stops suddenly, but she continues automatically and appears in a dream. So for Bernadette Soubirous, there was something similar. She had suddenly changed her point of view, changed her lifestyle, if just for a few days. Instead of being on her own all day, she was suddenly with many comrades, and she would listen to the priest talk rather than maintain a rhythm of praying. All this favored the triggering of forces that had been accumulated in consciousness before. During the first apparition, she had just taken her stocking off to go across the creek. She had consequently bended over the water, maybe on a day where the water was quite bright with the reflection of the sun, and this little detail might have triggered the whole experience. The apparition took place in a dark cave and not as she was practicing phosphenism. But of course, it is not during the practice of phosphenic mixing that visions or revelations appear, but later, through the accumulation of a force that ends up exploding. Nevertheless, a dark cave facilitates the apparition of phenomena that can be compared to the diffuse glow or the visual chaos. Also, this cave was already considered sacred by the Celts many years before Bernadette Soubirous. There were 17 apparitions, and every time the apparition started with a greyish-white cloud and finished with a similar cloud. This is exactly our diffuse glow appearing in the darkness of the cave. Everything that took place in Lourdes can be explained by phosphinism, though this does not challenge the spiritual nature of the phenomena. The same way human beings can only manifest themselves to the fishes of the deep through the medium of a diving suit, it is possible that spiritual beings need a suit of phosphenic substance to manifest themselves to human beings. We have reached the end of our course of phosphinism. You have learned many exercises. If you practice the ones that suit you best, you will see that you can obtain results very easily in all domains, and you will be very surprised. We are always happy to provide more precisions about the techniques and to share the experiences that are produced by them. Contact us or find more information on www.phosphinism.com. The ancients used to claim that light is a source of knowledge. Now, thanks to the works of Dr. Lefebure, we can understand why. Goodbye.